I think the church's role is about creating an environment where policy change is possible, as well as kicking the odd bit of policy change itself if it can do so. The Methodist Church is a living wage employer, and I don't know if you saw, about a month ago, a press release came out from the Living Wage Foundation saying that the living wage has created £1 billion more went into people's pockets since it was created 10 years ago. That's great news. And I had two thoughts. One, that's terrible, because not upgrading benefits in line with inflation removed £1.3 billion from the lowest paid this year. So this great thing has had less effect than this even afterthought of a policy. But the other thing is that actually it's underplaying what the living wage has done, because what the living wage has done is said that this model that says the market determines the value of your labour and the market is right, it's challenged it. It said, actually, there is something intrinsic in being a human that means that when you work, you should be able to live. And I think the reason why the national living wage, as it is now called, or the minimum wage, has changed and gone up is partly because of the example that created, that they created the environment which allowed that living with the statutory rate to go up. So the church has this role in trying to see, how can we create a window in which policies are possible? How can we make policies acceptable to the rest of society? Because there's a concept I was talking over lunch of called the Overton window, which is what policies look sensible or look like common sense. And in 1980, a 95% income tax rate was common sense. It was the way of stopping ridiculous out-of-control pay packets. Today, maybe 50%, maybe 55% income tax would be something that was acceptable. But if you suggested 95%, you'd be taken out and put against a wall as a Marxist. That has shifted. How do we shift things such that what seem to be ridiculous policies might actually be possible? And I think one of the things that the church can do is that there is this gap between policymakers, and universal credit is the absolute prime example of well-intentioned, well-informed policymakers with large amounts of graphs and large amounts of data creating a system that worked in their perfect ideologically motivated mind. And the moment it met reality, it collapsed. And the people for whom universal credit was applied to, they said, these people don't understand me. They have no idea what my life is like. How could you be so stupid? I was in a DWP meeting where in 2012, where I was told that people who are unemployed would have a redundancy payment to fall back on. So there was no problem having, at that stage, a six-week wait. Okay. So how do we close that gap? How do we get that knowledge and that experience and that wisdom that exists not in academics and not in people who've done PPE at Oxford and not in the politicians who we choose, but in the communities in which we serve? And churches are uniquely placed to do that. And they can do it by poverty truth commissions, but there's all sorts of interesting things, it's called sortition, but people's assemblies, other ways of mining that information and giving it credibility and giving it voice such that it can influence policy. And I think if we do that, huge windows of policies which seem like mad Marxism or ridiculous, or utterly ridiculous within the frame which we see today, can suddenly look a little bit sensible. The idea that everyone should have the right to food, even if they haven't done sufficient work. That could possibly be a perfectly sensible policy, and in 2 years' time, as Neem suggests.